the beginning of the month, we take time to meditate on a new psalm, and we'll look at Psalm 106 this morning. Psalm 106. Please listen as I read God's word. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O, visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his word. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. When they envied Moses in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen one, or he said he would have destroyed them, had not Moses his chosen one stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but complained in their tents, and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised his hand in an oath against them, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor, and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped, and that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his Holy Spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works, and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and gave them into the hand of the Gentiles. Those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant, and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's thought that David was the one who authored this psalm, that he wrote this psalm and actually Psalm 105, the previous one, together to celebrate when he brought the ark up to Jerusalem. Psalm 105, if you remember, really recounts and celebrates God's faithfulness and his goodness. It's an appropriate idea when you bring the ark up to Jerusalem. Psalm 106 expresses humility and a confession of sin. And this too would have been very fitting for David in that time of bringing the ark up. Just as the presence of light reveals darkness, so the presence of the holy God reveals sin. And so as David is bringing that symbol of God's presence up into Jerusalem, David would have been very conscious of the greatness of God, his holiness, and have been prompted to repent and to humble himself before the Lord. And he leads the congregation to do the very same thing through confession of sin. But as he does so, he encourages the congregation to take heart by the promise of God to show mercy when we repent. At the beginning and at the end of the psalm, David expresses that hope that the Lord is faithful in forgiveness. It's almost like two bookends to this psalm. There's an honoring that is given to God for his mercy and the forgiveness of sins. God is worthy of praise because of this. But then right in the middle of those bookends is the bulk of this psalm. And it's a psalm that is a psalm of confession. David says, "We have sinned and our fathers have sinned." And then he goes and he confesses specifically, recounting some of the history of the nation of Israel and identifying himself and the current people with those historical sins. I'm going to look at those just briefly and then think about how we are led to confess our sins. You can almost trace the Exodus and the history of Israel by this psalm. They doubted God's power and rebelled at the Red Sea, even though they had seen all of the 10 plagues that had gone before. Then, even though God opened the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground, they quickly forgot, and they complained when they didn't have enough food. They questioned Moses' authority, and there was mutiny that took place under Dathan and Abiram. They made and worshipped a golden calf. When they reached the promised land, they turned back in fear, even though God had promised to give them that land. They lusted after the women and the gods of the land, specifically the Baal of Peor that's mentioned here. And the account of Balak and Balaam is what's being registered there. Then when they ran short of water at Meribah, they forgot that God provides. They doubted his goodness. They complained against Moses and against the Lord. They disobeyed God in not destroying the cities and the people as God had commanded. And those remaining people and idols became snares to their hearts. And even when God judged them under the oppression of other people, David says, they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. This is a very humbling accounting of the history of Israel, a humbling confession of sins. And it highlights man's condition before a holy God. God is indeed holy and we are not. So in worship, David does something very appropriate. He leads the congregation. He leads us to confess our sins before the Lord. And while David names sins that are from history, he says these are our sins as well. Maybe not in the actual action, but David can say that we too have sinned. And we can follow David in saying, yes, we too have sinned in forgetting God's goodness, in doubting His provision, in complaining against Him, in lusting, in falling away from following after Him. We follow David in humbling ourselves before the Lord through confession of sin. We also have the joyful nature of this psalm to follow in being reminded of God's faithfulness to forgive. How does God respond when we confess? He responds in mercy. Nevertheless, He looked upon their distress when He heard their cry. For their sake He remembered the covenant and relented according to the abundance of His mercy. What rich words that David gives to us to be reminded that God is merciful. He forgives our sins. The psalm also gives us a picture of that forgiveness in the person of Moses. It accounts the time when the Israelites made the golden calf, and the Lord was so justly angry with them that He determined to destroy the nation of Israel and to start over again with Moses. And David says that he would have done that had not Moses stood in the breach. Had not Moses stood in the breach to turn away God's wrath. Moses, in prayer, mediated for Israel. He asked God to forgive, to show His loving kindness, to remember His covenant. He mediated for Israel. And had He not done that, God's wrath would have fallen on Israel. And in this way, He is a type of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the one and only true mediator between God and man, who turns away God's wrath in His sacrificial death. We have a picture of Jesus in this psalm, Jesus who comes to mediate for us. Isn't this an incredible promise to have set in front of us and to remember that this great and holy God has chosen to dwell with us? And He does so through the mediation of Jesus Christ. He not only looks at us, but He loves us and He forgives us. And while we humble ourselves before Him through confession of sin, He responds in mercy because of Jesus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll sing Psalm 106 this morning, starting with Selection A. Psalm 106, Selection A. I invite you to please stand to praise the Lord.